Well, finally, after about 20 minutes, I think I know what I'm doing. I think.
You think. Is it good?
It feels weird to be back behind a microphone. You ready?
No.
Why?
We gotta get cocktails before we can start.
All right, let's go get some cocktails, and then we'll do episode number 49, yes. After a long hiatus.
I know, it should have been like 56 by now, but it's okay.
Yeah, no worries. All right, let's do it.
Wow.
How long has it been? How long? How long? I lost count.
Since like a real podcast? Since 2 weeks before Urcha? So like a year and a half now is what it feels like?
Why are we even doing this now? I think people got used to us not even doing this stuff. So why should we do it?
They forgot about us.
I don't think they care.
No.
We've only gotten like two requests. Are you guys doing podcasts ever again?
Yeah. And then we say maybe, and they say, okay, well, please don't, because we don't care anymore, so.
Nice. So, Jesus, where do we begin?
So weird, man.
Where do we begin? Where do we begin, dude?
Well, let's pick up from Urcha.
Really?
We went to Urcha together, kind of.
You want to talk about something that nobody cares about anymore, because it happened like half a year ago?
Well, we were supposed to cover it.
Well, yeah. Well, should we talk about what happened there?
Make it sound like something bad happened there.
No, we did cover it. We did cover it.
We did an episode from there, so maybe we don't need to go into details, but let's pick up from Urcha.
Yeah, we did episode number 48, and that was a really solid episode.
It's long. There's a lot of people on it. It was good.
One thing that did happen while we were there is we were doing podcasts with our friends, all the podcasters, and we had a little bit of a technical difficulty. I don't know if Steve Yeun and those guys talked about it in their own podcast, or if Monty talked about it, or whomever, you know, like, I don't know. Yeah. I've been so out of the loop with that kind of stuff, but yeah. It was unfortunate because it was a good time and right at center stage, but there were some technical difficulties, so we could not release that one.
Right.
Other than that, any other highlights about Urcha?
What did we do in Urcha? I flew in the Battle of the Brands on behalf of SABUSA/BK Hobbies, which is a lot of fun. Put together a very quick routine and flew in it. Unfortunately, Cam Punai beat me, but it was still fun.
Nah, you flew your ass off. You can keep up with 16, 17-year-old kids that fly every day. 80 flights or 30 flights a day.
Yeah.
Can't keep up with that.
I asked him, I'm like, did you practice for this? He goes, yes, 30 flights a day for 2 weeks. What about you? And I was like, about 30 minutes ago, I listened to the music for the third time. So
yeah.
It was crazy. But
Something worth noting is, again, Urcha was a long time ago, but still it's worth noting the fact that this year Urcha, from a organization point of view, was better than ever. I feel like we felt like we were
upon arrival.
We felt like every single Urcha organizer / board member / volunteer was extremely helpful.
Yeah.
They'll listen to our concerns. They'll accommodate it, us and I'm sure all other sponsors. And they had a little bad apple that was removed. Mm-hmm. So it seems like everything has changed for the good. Very excited about the future years of Urcha and the fact that these guys really care about the event and they really listen not only to their sponsors who drive the event in terms of monetary support, but also to the pilots and stuff like that. So it was quite exciting. It was a little bit different. Like it felt... Yeah. Like a more relaxed atmosphere, even though we were sponsors and we had to do most of the things sponsors do, like demos and things like that. Mm-hmm. I felt like we were more at ease with like what we were doing. We weren't like constantly thinking if we do this, we're going to get in trouble, or you know, we might not be able to get this done. It was just very laid back, very well organized. We were in constant communication with all those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Wes Minier and Tim DePerry and all the guys that were there, and Dan and all the guys that are part of the board were very, very helpful. So thank you all of you guys. And thanks to IRCHA as a whole, I think there's a lot of good stuff coming in the future from IRCHA.
Yeah, so. I had a lot of fun. This is the one of the first years. I think last year was similar in this way, where we weren't running around like, okay, 2:30 demo, 3 o'clock demo, 4 o'clock contest. Like, no, I just hung out, went and flew for a little bit, hung out with team pilots, hung out with customers, answered questions. Yeah. Like, just kind of like, it felt like a really big fun fly to me. And then we just had our one demo on Saturday, which went pretty well. We had all of our guys out there, a few casualties as far as helicopters go.
Me included.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. But it was great. We had our demo, then the Battle of the Brands, and watched the night fly for a little bit, and that was it. It was just like a really, really all-around good IRCHA.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Yep.
Do you have any other highlights from IRCHA?
Just sitting there and watching the next generation of pilots is really cool to me. Seeing people like that are typically from the other side of the world, like Europe, and then people like Kan Punai from, I think he's from Thailand, just watching all those guys come over here and lay it down to a whole new audience, because everyone here primarily from IRCHA is in the U.S. and gets to see people like you and me and Nick Maxwell, Kyle Dahl, all over the U.S. But seeing this new blood come over, it was cool to see them just put on a flight and just people getting to see a different kind of style.
Definitely, no doubt. I think it's quite cool that we see like more involvement. Like the IRCHA always was an international event, but we never really had that many pilots coming from overseas, right?
Right. It was. I mean, there was a few notable ones from back in the years, like. I'm talking back in the years like 2005, like Nigel Brown would come over.
Yeah.
Trying to think about the other. Like a lot of the Mikado pilots would come
over.
Near Miri, yeah. But like it was definitely U.S. dominated. So this year seeing like Team Miniature Aircraft from Germany come over. And then, you know, like I said, Kan Punai and those kind of guys. It was just cool. Very well versed.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yep.
Cool. Well, enough of IRCHA. I think people don't really care about IRCHA anymore in the sense that it's long gone now.
Yeah.
So what have you been up to ever since IRCHA? My God, this is going to be like...
I'm trying to think.
This is going to be reminiscent of RC Haley Nation, because this is going to take you like 15 minutes to get through.
Yeah. So Sunday of IRCHA is where we're picking up. I drove myself to IRCHA in my own little car. So Sunday I made the drive back all the way back to Orlando, Florida, which I think in the end... was close to 24 hours of travel. It was about 19 hours of driving, I think, with stop and gas breaks in between. Got back and held down the BK Hobby/SAB USA shop on my own because you and Susie took a little vacation. I'll let you talk about that, but I was...
A long vacation.
Yeah, so I had the shop for myself for 2 weeks. Of course, we had our employees working remotely, like Sean and Lance.
Yeah, Lance. Awesome guy, Lance.
Yeah. Answering emails and helping me out with stuff like that. But it was fun. I mean, it was a daily grind. It was a lot of long hours and stuff, but it was fun just to, just taking over the entire shop. And
you're a loner. You like to be alone.
Just trying to keep it in business and not ship stuff without payment. But it was cool. But 2 weeks of that, then you got back. And I think like a week later, I had to turn around and leave.
Yeah.
My grandmother kind of unexpectedly passed away. She'd been sick for a while, but she slipped really quick. So I had to go back home to New York for her funeral, and at the same time was the Rochester, New York one fly. So I stayed up there during Hurricane Dorian and attended the event.
You were supposed to go there, attend the funeral, and then you were going to hang because it just happened to be the fun fly weekend.
Right.
But then because of Hurricane Dorian, you just could not really get home. Well, right. You shouldn't, and you didn't. So
right.
It was the proper thing to do. So
right. So I ended up spending 2 weeks in New York, which is, in the end, it was great to spend time with Mom and Dad now that I never see them, except about once or twice a year. So stayed up there. The fun fly was great. It's usually a small event, but I think we had, like, I want to say 50 to 60 pilots. Turnout was great. Everyone had fun. The typical night fly with all the fireworks, so... It was just a really, really good time. And then after that, spent some time with Mom and Dad, and then started the drive back down. Yes, I drove up there. So started.
How was the event? Like, is it bigger than in previous years? I mean, how was it? I mean, you've attended that event for how many years since day one?
Since day one. I think this was the 18th or 19th annual. So I've been going there for many, many years now. And it started out really small, then got big, and kind of plateaued off. I think it's it's pretty on par with what it's been in years past. But we had all sorts of people there. Like Scott Graham showed up, and Ron Corris and his family, and I was there, obviously, and you know, all the local boys in that kind of general area of New Jersey showed up. But it was fun. It was just super, super laid back. It was nice to get away from the humidity because it was, you know, like 70 degrees every day. No humidity. It was nice and cool out. So
yeah,
it was a nice change of pace.
Yeah, compared to Florida for sure around that time, no doubt.
Yep. Yeah. But got back from that and I have been in relax mode hardcore as far as flying goes. I think I've done 5 flights.
Terrible. Why?
It's just that season, man. The lazy season's kicked in. Got nothing really going on until December.
The fun fly blues.
Yeah, I am not super motivated to fly. Got nothing really going on event-wise until December for the winter bash, so just in cruise mode.
Yeah. Well, we all miss Virginia, which was just this past weekend.
Yeah.
Not easy to go. Sometimes you got to watch your finances and make decisions based on that. So,
yep, absolutely.
So it's a lot going on. A lot going on in terms of like logistics and stuff behind closed doors that mm-hmm. sometimes keep us from going to events as well.
Yeah.
And then when you just start working, it's very hard to get back into the groove of like getting excited to go to an event or getting excited to go fly or do a video or like do other things, right?
Yeah.
Because you get into this like mode where you're just like doing what you need to do, and it's all hobby related still, but it's different really.
It's not hobby related though in the end, because it's a lot of like business management stuff.
Correct. But it does take away from the fun part of it because you kind of get saturated with it. And then when you finally can break free from it on the weekend or on a Sunday or whatever in the evenings, the last thing you want to do is go fly.
Right.
Because it's just too much. It's too much.
Yeah.
But we miss Virginia. We might have to miss Extravaganza as well, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And so our next event really is going to be the Torches Winter Bash, which we're going to do our shameless plug about that here in a little bit. But
yeah.
So what else you got?
When I'm not flying, I've been playing a lot more guitar lately since I'm not spending every breathing moment outside of work flying. I've been playing more guitar now lately. So
same here.
Yeah, you mm-hmm. picked it up as well. So mm-hmm. we've been jamming. You've quickly, very much so, surpassed my ability, which has been fun.
Shut the hell up.
To you're learn so from you,
it.
But
you're full of it, man. You're such a liar.
It's just a fun change of pace. It keeps the fingers going. I mean, you and I both like music a lot, all sorts of different genres and stuff. So it's just kind of cool to do something else to keep the brain and fingers wiggling. So
yeah, definitely. But I played with guitar when I was a kid for a little bit, and it was very short lived. And I always wanted to be a guitar player, so I learned piano, I learned keyboard.
Right.
And I've always been a very musically inclined person. I went to music school, conservatory for 5 years for piano, so I know enough about music to be very dangerous with it. But I never really picked up a guitar seriously, and I'm just having a ball, man, playing a little bit every day.
It's just awesome. It's just fun.
Takes you away. Takes you to a different place. The problem is we have too many hobbies. I do have too many hobbies. I have motorcycles, helicopters. And now guitars. Mm-hmm. It's just a little bit too much, you know? And aviation, like full-scale aviation, which I've been kind of out of it for a couple of years now. But too many hobbies.
And guns, shooting.
And guns. Too many hobbies, dude.
Yeah, it's impossible to balance it all. Impossible.
Cannot. Very difficult.
And I'm starting to get into photography now, which has been fun. Because
you need another hobby, too.
Yeah, why not, right?
Just find it. Find some other hobby.
Yeah.
But it's good to have other stuff to do because, and we're going to talk about this. This is really important. We're going to talk about motivation, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think that breaking away when, and some people might disagree with us here because they're going to be listening and be like, are you kidding me? Like, how can you just not be motivated to fly?
Right.
Well,
let me tell you.
whomever you are, dude, just wait until you've been doing this for your entire life. Yes. Like 20 years, 30 years. Like Kyle, you've been doing this for literally 19 years.
19 years this year.
Out of your 24 years of existence. Mm-hmm. I've been doing this off and on since 1983.
Mm-hmm.
82. Off and on. That's like, I was 11 years old and I'm 48. So do the math. 37 years out of my 48 years of existence. So once you've done it for so many years, you go through these phases where like you still love it, you still care about it, but you just kind of feel burned out. Like you feel unmotivated. I'm motivated to build. I'm motivated
to wrench.
I'm motivated to repair. Yeah. I'm motivated to even go to the field and fly.
Yeah.
Especially if it's like for us in Florida, like it's summer and it's freaking 97 degrees and it's 99% humidity, and you know you're gonna have a stray shower or two, or maybe a thunderstorm.
Yeah.
You need to break free from it. So playing guitar, riding a motorcycle, mm-hmm. I don't know, playing the piano or whatever it is you do, like as an additional hobby, or jogging, or shooting guns, or going to the gym, or whatever it is, gets you in that mindset, like breaks you free from it, and then gets you kind of, eventually, like after a few days or weeks or whatever it takes, it kind of gets you back into it, right? But we'll talk more about that.
Yeah, we have a nice topic coming up with that later. But
what else you got?
That's it. That's all I've been doing is just family stuff, guitar, and just trying to not re-get into helicopters, but just kind of refreshing the brain a little bit. Taking a little breather and then gearing up for the Winter Bash and next year. So
nice.
What about you? Sunday of Virtual. Let's go.
So Sunday of Virtual. I got up in the morning, got the camper all packed up and ready to go. Ended up leaving around, I think, late morning. Had some issues ahead of time. Like,
of course.
So like this trip was like everything and anything that can go wrong will go wrong sort of thing. That's not negative Bert speaking here. That's I'm talking about the past, not what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
This was a true fact. And the first thing was like I ended up putting a huge dent in the truck
mm-hmm.
because my camper has a what they call a sliding hitch. So as you make a turn, the hitch is supposed to slide back. The reason for that is because my truck doesn't have a long bed. It's a short bed. So because it's a fifth wheel type trailer, the hitch needs to move back as you turn so you don't jackknife. Well, it did not move back enough due to a malfunction.
Or at all.
So the camper basically hit the side of the truck. Pretty bad, actually. And I got lucky that it didn't break the window.
Yeah.
Really, really lucky. Because if it would have broke the window, that would have sucked to have had to have that for 2 weeks during our vacation with tape and trash bags or whatever you do, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that was the first thing that happened after we left Urcha, or right before it or whatever during this period. Then we finally met with our friends in Missouri. We're all going to go to Colorado first to go ride our motorcycles there. And then from Colorado, we were going to go to Sturgis, South Dakota, which for the people that are bike enthusiasts, they know that Sturgis is the biggest motorcycle rally in the whole world. There's 500,000 motorcycles that descend on this little town in the middle of South Dakota, pretty close to the border with Wyoming, like once a year around this time. I think first week in August, whatever. So anyway, we went to Colorado, and the first thing that happens is, guess what? Freaking ice storm. Ice storm on I-70 West, Western Kansas or Eastern Colorado. Needless to say, a little bit of truck damage from the hail. Ice storm. I call it ice storm. It was a hail storm, of course, but it's ice coming from the sky, you know?
Starting it off strong. And
so big hail storm. So that was the first thing that happened. Then I think the second day, one of our friends, Scott, got sick. He had to go to the hospital. He had pneumonia.
Yeah.
And then I wouldn't say an older guy, but he is older. And the doctor said, no, you can't go up in the mountains because you're going to die. No way. So they had to give him oxygen and everything else. Like, I mean, please. So we finally made it to the mountains in Colorado. We had a good time, but we had more issues. Susie's bike had a switch failure in the middle of the interstate, and we had to pull on the side of the interstate and wrench on her bike to get it up and running again. Like, we everything, every little detail. But other than that, we finally made it to Sturgis, South Dakota, and we had a ball. It was great. It was great. We stayed in a place called the Buffalo Chip. It's the rowdiest, nastiest, dirt, mud-infested campground. But, dude, it was just an experience. Would I do it again? Maybe not, but it was an experience. We booked VIP tickets for, like, to go see Volbeat and to go see Disturbed. And we also we were staying pretty close to the amphitheater. So every concert that happened every night with a huge lineup. I mean, they had people like Toby Keith, if you like country.
Mm-hmm.
They had, again, Disturbed, if you like hard rock type stuff. They had Styx, which is like, for all of you guys that are older that know Styx from the 70s and the 80s, like awesome band from the past. And they killed it. They play amazing. Mm-hmm. And even no comment, but even if you're a rapper, you had Snoop Dogg there on stage, which in my opinion, I don't think kind of blend it right with that
That's
crowd.
That's quite the crowd for Snoop Dogg, yeah. And then they had Volby there as well, so you guys got to see, you guys got backstage passes for that, right?
Yeah. And they had like, I forgot, there was a lot of different bands. You're like well-known bands. Yeah. I'm just not a fan of all those genres, but yeah. Even that Keith Urban dude, if you like country, he happens to be a country singer, but he's from like Australia. It's kind of funny. But yeah, so we had a ball with that. What, like listening to concerts in the evening and then just going riding our bikes. And it's like a dream place to go ride bikes because you have like so many cool places to go see. There's so many like cool like roads and like, you know, like hills and mountains and like it's just so badass. Mm-hmm. So that was cool. And after a few more hurdles and a few more breakdowns and some issues with the camper and more issues with the truck and yada, 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 we finally made it home back to regular life, right?
Yeah.
And I'm sure you were relieved because, like you said, you were alone for a couple of weeks. So,
yeah.
And our internet, needless to say, was not perfect. So even though we tried to get some remote work, it wasn't the same. It wasn't easy. But. Yeah. Yeah, but thanks for holding the shop down. That was awesome. That was good.
It was a big relief when you got home. I was getting tired of talking to myself in the walls.
Sure.
For sure.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
So that was it for my vacation. Don't know if I'll ever go back there, but again, lots of issues. But anyway, the truck was in the shop. We got it back, what, a couple of weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
And aside from that, the worst part of the whole vacation was I got sick. Literally, I think I caught something at Urcha Saturday night because literally like Tuesday morning we were in Colorado and I woke up and I couldn't swallow. I had such a bad sore throat.
Yeah.
And then it went from my throat to my head and then it just went to my lungs and it was coughing and it was just literally I had a cough for like a month and a half. It was ridiculous. Like I just took forever to get over it. But so everything that could go wrong, including getting sick, but we still went and did our rides and stuff. We powered through it because I gave it to Susie too. Mm-hmm. So we were both sick. So, but anyway,
at least you had fun though. It was like the first big vacation in several
years. Oh yeah. Like I take a lot of like 4 days, 5 days, 3 days,
like a long weekend. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But like, as far as like just leaving for 2 weeks, like, dude, I honestly don't remember ever having done that. So
yeah. It's good that you guys got to get away because you work out of home more or less, so it's good to get a big change of scenery.
Yeah, and that's the one thing that a lot of people I hang with don't understand when I want to like go when I go somewhere and stay the night, just the night. Mm-hmm. Like, why are you going to sleep in a hotel? You can just be home in an hour and go to your own bed. I'm like, dude, like home is work. It's like it's the shop is there. It's like I love my house, don't get me wrong, but I associate being here with like my normal everyday routine,
right?
And I never have an escape. So when I can just leave for a night, a day or two, it's just, it's awesome. It's like, it's no different than you, like you're going to leave here shortly and go home. Mm-hmm. I don't get that ever. Yeah,
right.
So,
You never get to get away.
Yeah, I don't experience that. So, but anyway, so that was it for the vacation. And then, you know, the rest of the story, we held down the shop while you were gone for your 2 week vacation, which wasn't really intended to be and then, and that's been it, you know, we're working on some projects now too, which is kind of exciting.
Yeah. You know, a side note that I just thought about, when I was in New York, my car, went under a little bit of damage. It was parked somewhere and someone backed into it. Right to the side of it.
Tell the story. Come on.
No.
You can't?
No.
Can I?
No.
Why?
All right. So.
Come on, Sarah. He's not going to care. He feels bad about it.
So.
He's human. and he's old.
Olivia, my girlfriend, was in town. I mean, in town. It was a couple hour drive from her house at my mom's house. And we went over to my dad's house to go have dinner with him. And his driveway is pretty wide. You can park two cars right next to each other. We went over at night. We went to the house, hung out. Just talked a little bit and this, that, and the other. We went to go to dinner. We got in his car, and he went to go back out, and he started backing up, and he made a turn without even thinking, something he's done a million times now, and he backed straight into the passenger door of my car.
But to his defense, like, it's a very dark...
Very dark, yeah.
It's like my driveway at night, right? If all my outside lights are off, dude, you don't see it.
Yeah, it's the same backup turn he does every single day. But the only thing is, my car was there. I forgot my car was there. It's until we made that bang right into it, like, oh yeah,
with a hitch.
With a hitch on his car. So It tweaked the passenger door pretty good. I mean, it happens. It's no big deal. It's in the shop right now. I'm getting a new door put on it. He felt really bad. At the end, I kind of thought it was funny because when I was learning to drive, he used to give me a lot of grief for not looking where I was going when backing up. Yeah. But no, it's all good.
Well, Dad, that's what insurance is for. So
yeah.
All good.
Yeah,
so,
it's all good, Dad. Don't feel bad. Nah, I'm putting a new door on it right now. Nah. I have a rental.
Hey, I came here with the truck one night. Susie and I went to dinner. This is probably a year or two ago. Actually, the truck was brand new. I came here with a truck. We came back from having dinner somewhere in town. And, you know, I parked the truck in front of the house in the mm-hmm. grass area. So, like, for the people that don't know my home, we have a regular garage like any other house in Florida, typical Florida, you know, three-car garage. But then we have a driveway. And then across on the other side of the driveway, we have, like, a lot of property. Like, mm-hmm. there's a lot of grass in there. And normally, I just park the truck there. Just to keep it away from our actual paved driveway. And I have this little side-by-side that has a trailer attached to it that we use to take the trash out because it's like a almost a half a mile drive to the road. And, you know, that's where we take the trash, we take limbs, we cut trees, we do all that stuff with it. So the trailer stays attached to it. Dude, I pulled the truck in. And I just didn't see the trailer. It's pitch black. Trailer's black. It's pitch black.
Yeah.
Don't see anything. And next thing I knew, it was like, boom.
Yeah.
Like, right into the fender. Huge dent into the fender. And the trailer didn't even care because it's a big steel. It's a small, but it's a steel.
Yeah.
It's a steel trailer.
Yeah.
With a very sharp two sides, you know?
Yeah.
You can't see at night. No way.
No way.
So it's all okay, Ray.
Yeah. If you're listening to Pops, don't worry about it. It's all good. It's funny in the end. It's getting fixed right now. It'd be good as new. But yeah, he backed right into it. I forgot it was there until he hit it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's all good.
Anyway.
What else?
So we have a few things in the works. I don't want to talk about there's one that I don't want to talk about yet.
It's not time yet.
We'll talk about that hopefully next week. We should have some kind of confirmation, hopefully by the end of this week, so we can discuss it next week. But there's one thing coming from SAB, which is there's actually three things coming from SAB. We cannot talk about two of them. We'll talk about the first thing, which is the Kraken Yellow out of the box.
Yes.
What do you think of that?
At first, I didn't really understand why, but now after hearing more about it, it kind of makes sense. For those of you that do know or don't know, SAB came out with the Goblin Kraken in April. And then later on in the year, they came out with a yellow scheme with titanium main shaft and titanium spindle that was lighter. And that was just an optional part that you could buy and put on your Kraken. But a lot of people wanted to buy it as a kit that way. So SAB packaged it as the yellow Kraken with the yellow canopy and boom and side frames, as well as the titanium main shaft and spindle.
And I think the reason they did that is because they originally told us, no, we're not going to do this. People can just buy the color.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they got a lot of requests from people that just wanted it out of the box that way. Because some people, believe it or not, did not like the orange. I don't know why. I think the orange is amazing.
I personally prefer the look of the orange.
Yeah,
me too. My favorite color is orange, so I prefer the orange over the
yellow. I like the yellow. I just don't like that blue color in the yellow. It's like too baby blue for me.
Yeah.
But due to popular demand, I guess, people requesting it, SAB decided to put in a kit, and that's okay. So this is lighter than the original. We can't say by how much, because even though at some point or another it was said it was so many ounces, you really can't say how many ounces because it depends on the manufacturing process.
Right.
So some are going to be maybe only 2 ounces lighter than an orange. Some might be 6 ounces. Like, it'll vary.
Right.
So there's no promises being made here.
Right.
But it is lighter. And it does come, like, in the lightweight comes not only from the yellow color kit, but also from, like you said, titanium spindle and main shaft, which is included in the kit in white landing gear instead of black. So
it's
a small variation, but opens the door for those that did not like the orange.
Right. And a lot of people have asked me, how is the yellow scheme lighter? I don't know. No idea.
How is it lighter?
Yeah, I have no idea.
I think it has a lot to do with, I'm not an expert in carbon fiber, like composites and things like that, like Stefano is, of course, from SAB. But I know that it's similar to what they did with that Thunder T versus the regular traditional Goblin, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the material is just laid differently. Mm-hmm. The way they lay the material is done a little bit differently, so they use a little bit less material. So it increases the strength, considering the thinner material.
Right.
Still not going to be as strong as the orange. It can't be.
Right.
It can't be. If it's lighter, it's not going to be as strong.
Right.
But it should be strong enough to obviously it is strong enough to handle any force that you can throw at it in flight.
Right.
But during a crash, it might not hold up as well.
Well,
so although with that said, it depends. If you crash hard, anything's going to break.
Right.
Yeah.
So I was looking at the forums this morning, and I forgot to fill you in on this before we hit record. So we're going to get your opinion off the cuff on this. I was looking at HeliFreak this morning, and a lot of people are upset because they feel like, oh, I bought the original Kraken, and SAB found all the fixes, and now this new kit for more money is the fix.
Oh, God.
This is not like a fixed or upgraded kit.
There is
it's a different kit. It's a new color. It's
lighter.
It's not like a fix. It's like just another version.
Oh, yeah. HeliFreak, see, here's the thing. I hate when people draw conclusions without really knowing true facts.
Right.
It's like we were talking about this a couple of days ago where we had a call. I had a call from a customer that asked me that he heard that there were issues with the crack and with vibration on some flight controllers.
Right.
And he wanted to know if that had been corrected. And I told the customer, yes, it has been corrected for months.
Mm-hmm.
The minute SAB spotted the problem, they immediately corrected it. Mm-hmm. They released an upgraded flabberless mount. They shipped it for free to all the customers that, no questions asked, just for customers that had purchased the very first batch. Mm-hmm. By batch two, which
was fixed.
Yeah, it was already fixed. And batch two was within 3 to 4 weeks of batch one. By now, we're on batch like, I don't even know, 6, 5, 7?
If you're getting ready to buy a Kraken kit right now, have no fear. Any kit that is for sale in the United States right now, guaranteed, is fixed.
And so for whatever the people are saying on HeliFreak, it doesn't surprise me because But there's nothing different in terms of fixes, upgrades, nothing. This is just a different color, which happens to be lighter. Different color landing gear, which you can still buy for the orange one, the white landing gear. Titanium main shaft and spindle shaft. You still can buy those off the shelf as spare parts or upgrade parts for your orange Kraken.
Correct.
Orange Kraken, yellow Kraken, exact same parts. All the fixes have been made for batches on end.
Yeah.
Nothing to fear.
Yeah.
Nothing different.
Do not worry that if you buy an orange kit that there's something wrong with it.
And the orange kit is still available and will still be available.
Yes.
And I have a feeling will still be the most popular color Kraken, period. Yeah.
Orange,
and it's cheaper.
Yeah. Orange or yellow, up to date.
Yeah, go wrong and it's cheaper. The orange is cheaper. The orange, which is the 740 model as per SAB, is $1,058. Mm-hmm. And the yellow, which is the 741 model as per SAB, is $1,158. So the orange is still cheaper by like $80.
$80.
So, but they're identical. The only thing is the difference, again, is the color. And the titanium main and spindle shafts and the white landing gear.
That's actually a great deal then, because if you were to buy the canopy, boom, side panels, main shaft, spindle separately, that you're looking at like $200.
It's a lot more than $80.
$280.
It's a lot more than $80.
Yeah, so that's a.
But on the other hand, you probably wouldn't have to buy that unless you really wanted. You had an orange Kraken, and you were stuck on. You had a fixation on changing the collar.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to change the collar. Why would you? You change it if you crash.
Right.
But if you crash, you still have to buy the parts anyway. So,
And let's talk about weight. So my whole thing with weight is I cannot tell a real difference. Like when when SAB first sent me the spindle, main shaft, and new paint scheme, I couldn't feel a difference. But I've never been able to tell a difference.
Let me go on a rant.
Do it.
Can I do a rant? This will take less than a minute.
It's fine.
Can I cuss? We haven't cussed the whole episode.
It's our podcast. You can do whatever you want.
Fuck the weight. It's bullshit. The weight is stupid. You have no idea how many times I hear, okay, so Europeans are huge, huge into this weight savings thing.
Which I know why, for the record.
Why?
Because they like to run lower RPM.
They like lower RPM.
Yes.
Correct.
It makes sense.
For that particular purpose, yes. I could see why if you like to fly your helicopter at 472 head speed, yes, you need lower weight, okay? But if you're a normal human being that flies at 2,000, 2,200, 2,300... What? I'm just being honest, dude. You know how cool it is. But it's so much. It's so true, though. It's like there is very little difference in feel in the air when you compare a heli that weighs 10 pounds, 6 ounces versus a heli that weighs 10 pounds, 13 ounces.
Right.
There really is not a whole lot of feel difference in the air. And if there is, you can offset that by increasing your head speed ever, ever so slightly.
Or more collective pitch.
Or more collective. And if you do that, sure, you're bad. You could, some people could argue, well, I'm going to shorten my flight time. Yes, you will shorten it by 15, 20 seconds. Okay, yeah, big deal.
Yeah, yeah.
So, of course, lighter is better. I'm not arguing with that. But it's not, lighter is not instrumental to performance. Like, when I, some of the best demos I ever did when I still could fly was with my competition Goblin with 14S. And I was flying 14S 5,000 milliamp packs. Mm-hmm. And they were much heavier. That they were adding half a pound or more, 3/4 of a pound of weight to my helicopter. But because I had no sagging in power, so I had a monster motor with 14S power, and I was flying at 2,500, it didn't feel heavier at all. It actually felt lighter.
Yeah.
So for sure, my flight time was a little bit lower, but at the end of the day, it's not as, I feel like some people get too hung up on the weight.
Right.
And I don't mean this in a rude kind of way, because I am not the pilot I was back in the day, but if I cannot feel the weight difference, you probably won't as an average pilot. That's my point. Like, I don't mean this in a bad way, but it is what it is. It's if you, Stacy, cannot feel the difference in a big way, maybe only the 1% of other pilots, maybe at some point in their lifetime, will.
Right.
That's it. Right?
At the end of the day, if you're sitting at your computer right now trying to buy a Kraken, you can't decide orange or yellow, simply pick the color that you will prefer.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, I really don't think you're going to pick up on the weight differences at all.
No. And weight is it. Weight, it comes, lightweight comes at a price.
Mm-hmm.
The lighter the weight, the more fragile the helicopter will be.
Yep.
That's just simple. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand that concept.
Right.
The lighter it is, either the thinner it is, either the more or the more fragile it is, or whatever. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always a trade-off. It's like blades, you know.
Right.
The blade that's stable is probably going to be a little bit slower, and the blade that's more agile, that feels better for 3D, is going to be a lot less stable in big air flight. There's always a trade-off in everything there is with helicopters, right?
Always. And typically, especially if you want to look at like main rotor blades, you and I typically prefer possibly a heavier and a longer blade because we prefer the lift over like a short 690 super light smack blade.
Yeah. So that was the project of the Yellow Kraken. It took a while to discuss that. What other projects we have? We don't want to talk about that other one, but no, we will talk about it next week.
It makes me super excited, but we can't talk about it
yet. Yeah, we're working on, we're going to do a contest. So that's another little project that we're doing here.
Yeah, talk about that. We're going to
do bingo. You know what bingo is? Bingo. I've never seen a bingo. The only bingo game I've ever seen play is like, because I watched the Saul Goodman show, which is...
Better Call Saul,
Better Call Saul, which is a spinoff of Breaking Bad for all you guys that watch AMC. And I saw him. He was catering to the old people there. And the, what is that called? The old people's, like the...
Old folks home.
Like thing? The old folks home or whatever.
Yeah.
And he did bingo. But anyway, we're going to have our own bingo. So stay tuned. I think it's going to be amazing.
Yep.
We're going to give away some really cool stuff.
Yeah.
Could be something as cool as a kit. It could be a set of servos, sets of blades. So you have a chance to win. And it's free. And all you got to do is just download your bingo card.
Mm-hmm.
More details soon to be announced. I think it's cool.
I'm really excited. Cool. I'm excited.
It's going to be a lot of work from our side, but I think it's going to be cool. It's going to be cool.
Yeah, people are going to enjoy it. Be a fun little game.
What other projects we got going? What else you got going on?
Not projects, but the Heli Extravaganza in South Carolina. We're going to try and make it. We're not too sure right now.
It's going to be difficult.
It looks like they're gearing up for a good event, though. If you're kind of in the Southeast area, definitely take a look at this event.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot of fun. It's at the Triple Tree Field.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's in Greenville or something.
It's Woodruff, South Carolina, which is south of Greenville. Yes,
Greenville, a little bit south. So it's an absolutely gorgeous, gorgeous field. The field is beautiful. They got
same
nice
field. Yeah, same field where they do John Wall for the airplane guys.
Right.
Are familiar with it, yeah.
You and I went there a couple years ago, so it'd be great to go back, but we're not too sure
yet. Let's see what else we got going on. So we have to do our shameless plug.
Yes. The good one.
So the Orlando Winter Bash.
No, the Torches Winter Bash.
The Orlando or Torches? The Torches Winter Bash. Mr. Gator, yep. Our good friend Gator, is once again running the whole event. He said he's going to take care of everything. He doesn't need any volunteers this year.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm not doing anything. Done.
No, he said he's going to take care of it all because we tried to talk him out of the event and he insists. So he said, I'll do everything. I'll set up the parking. I'll rope the place. He's got it all taken care of.
Yep.
We're going to have live music. We're going to have food, hot dogs, burgers. We're going to try to bring back this kebab dude that's amazing. He cooks some of the best food. We're going to have a great time. Fly helicopters.
Yeah.
In the beautiful weather of Florida. We have our Russian friends coming.
Yes.
We heard today, Paul, our team guy, our
Paul Ouellette.
Paul Ouellette, our new, well, he's not new, but yeah, he's from this year, from Maine. He's from Maine. He's thinking about coming.
Yep.
Of course, we're going to have the usual suspects. We're going to have, who else said that they were, I've heard from a lot of random people.
Ron Corus is coming.
Yeah, yeah, of course. But like, Of course, has to be here. But no, I'm talking about like people overseas or something. Who's like, I heard of a few people, like I just can't remember.
Like I think our friend Pascal Schorno from Switzerland, I want to say. I think he's coming.
Yeah, I think the miniature guys are coming again from Germany. Probably. I believe they mentioned that. So yeah, it's going to be cool.
It's going to be good. Yeah. The dates are December 5th through the 8th. Yes, that is Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
That's a long time. No need.
I know. But Gator wanted to do Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You can show up as early as Thursday. We're going to get the event going Thursday. And then the big days, obviously, are Friday and Saturday.
If you have an RV, I believe you can show up as early as Tuesday afternoon.
Right.
Do not show up before Tuesday afternoon because I think we have to have permission from the city. I think that's the earliest we can get it.
Right.
But Tuesday afternoon or later with your camper.
Yes.
Of course, if you want to show up early, like Wednesday or something, and come fly, just you're free to do so.
Yes.
You do need to register. You don't have to, but we highly encourage you to register online.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because, number one, I think it's cheaper.
It is cheaper.
And number two, you get a free t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And,
so please go to www.torches.org. And on the left-hand side, there's going to be a link to register for the Winter Bash. It really helps us out as event organizers, per se, to get an idea of who's coming.
Yeah.
As well as saves you some money when it comes down to registering for the event.
Yeah, so when you go to torches.org, the very last link on the left-hand side says Torches Winter Bash Register.
Mm-hmm.
Just click on that, register. Like Kyle said, it does help a lot, and it helps for a lot of different reasons. It helps us gauge how many food vendors we need. The sooner we get registrations, the better things become for us as organizers.
Yeah.
Also, the exact size of your T-shirt.
Yes. I was about to say the shirts.
Yeah, you get a free t-shirt and everything else. Some people complained, Gator told me last year, that you know, we weren't giving away t-shirts with to those that didn't pre-register.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to just include it. And I talked him out of it because I know logistically it costs a lot of money to buy enough sizes of every, you know, enough t-shirts of every possible size to be able to hand them out to everybody for free.
Right.
So I don't think is a very high price to pay to just go online and pay the $45, right?
Yeah.
What do you think?
I mean, pre-registering gets you a lot of things. A, it saves you some money, so you don't have to do it at the event.
It's actually $40.
$40. All you got to do is pre-register online. It guarantees you a shirt and guarantees you a spot in the event. All you got to do is show up to registration, say, hi, my name is whatever. I pre-registered to get your badge, your bracelet, and your shirt.
And listen, guys, this is not a lie. We pay upwards of $8, $9 a t-shirt after shipping and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you're getting an $8, $9 our cost value to you for free when you pre-register.
Yeah.
If you show up the day of the event, we have to charge you a little bit more because it takes a little bit more paperwork,
mm-hmm.
you know, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, it's helping the club. Is nobody's pocketing this money. Nobody's making a living off of this. This is all for the club.
Yeah.
So once again, www.torches.org. Click on the link on the bottom left-hand side.
Yep.
Pay your $40. If you have an RV, you can pay for the RV parking. RV parking is only $10 extra. It's nothing.
Yeah.
So you can get your pilot registration and your RV together for $50. mm-hmm. and a free t-shirt. I mean, that's, please.
It's a great deal. Just to come hang out in Orlando, Florida in December. The weather is almost guaranteed to be great. We did have 1 year when it was chilly, but overall, the weather is going to be really good. If you have any questions whatsoever, please feel free to reach out to me, KyleStacyRC@gmail.com, or you can reach out to Gator, mgaeta1@gmail.com. Both of our emails are dispersed in the banner, is on the website. So if you have any questions, please reach out to us. We're really looking forward to seeing you guys there.
Yeah, cool. Awesome. All right. End of shameless plug.
Yeah.
What do we have now?
You know, we should talk about the topic at hand.
Which is?
Finding motivation.
Okay. How do you find it?
Should we talk about why...
I already talked about it.
Why you and I might not have motivation all the time? Because there's people who have probably been flying 1 or 2 years who all they can think about is going out
okay, to the field and flying. Give me your perspective.
So, at the tender age of 24 years old, currently, I have been involved in radio-controlled helicopters for 22 years of that, and flying officially on my own for 19 years of that. So, safe to say, and this is going to be very blunt, safe to say the spark is gone.
Oh, yeah. It goes away after a while. It does.
Yeah. Not to say that I don't enjoy flying, because I really do get a kick out of flying. It just takes a lot of different things to really make it fun and interesting these days.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but it's a different kind of love. It's like when you have your girlfriend mm-hmm. and like you're so infatuated and you just, all you want to do is cuddle and kiss and blah, blah, blah. But then after you get married and you've been married for 10, 15, 20 years, you still love that person with all your heart. I mean, nothing changes. Mm-hmm. But that infatuation, that craziness, that, you know what I mean? Like goosebump type thing goes away. It's this part of being a human being. It's the same with a hobby. It really is.
Right.
And I feel the same way about my bikes, you know, mm-hmm. but go on.
Yeah. So I have been quote unquote working in the industry since 2016-ish and more in an official capacity as far as BK Hobbies goes since 2017. So dealing with this stuff day in and day out for 8, 10, 12 hours a day, then going home from here and then getting emails and questions, which I'm not complaining. Like, it's one of the greatest jobs in the world to be able to do what I love. But as far as the spark to fly, that has certainly dwindled over the years. So
yeah, it does. It does.
How about we talk about some ways that you and I kind of like refine that love? Because maybe there's people out there who are in the same boat. Like, they're not enjoying it as much and they want to get into it.
Okay. And I feel the same way because, you know, I started, even though, like I said before, I started the hobby in 1982 or 83. It's kind of a blur, but I'm sure it was one of those 2 years. I was either 11 or 12 years old. I did it as a hobby and I enjoyed it off and on for many, many years, mainly airplanes, really. But then ever since I would say 2008, I have relied on RC helicopter income as a living. So it was a little bit of, it was a line first, and then I was doing stuff for other companies, and mm-hmm. and then it became my employment with, and then it was Heli Wholesaler, then it became mm-hmm. my employment with Ready Heli, and then, you know, it became my involvement.
SAB, no? SAB was after...
SAB was after Ready Heli. Yeah. And then, of course, you know, BK Designs, BK Hobbies, SAB USA. I mean, BK Servo. I've been making a living out of the helicopter world since 2008. That's mm-hmm. 11 years. Mm-hmm. So it's long enough that it kind of puts a dent on... It takes away that excitement, right? It kind of makes that spark go away, like you said. But with that said, there's still a love for the hobby, for sure,
of course.
But the love for the hobby is not enough to have that excitement to go fly every day, right?
Which is perfectly fine,
is okay. But how do you get excited again, right? So that's the $40,000 question here. That's what we're talking about. So for me, mm-hmm. there's many ways. The first thing I have to do, and I told you this before, mm-hmm. I have to stop. Like, it sounds counterproductive, but I have to stop.
Right.
I don't want to look at a helicopter. I don't want to see a helicopter. I don't want to talk about a helicopter. I don't want anything to do with helicopters. Mm-hmm. And I inevitably have to deal with helicopters on a daily basis because of what we do for a living. But I have to withdraw myself from going flying, seeing helicopters, wrenching, thinking about it. Like, I force myself to just stay away from it. Because the more and more and more I get involved with it, the more I think about, like, for instance, like Thank you, by the way, for fixing my Kraken that I crashed at the Urcha demo, right? But I was thinking off and on about, oh, I got to fix the Kraken when I get home because I was on vacation. I got to fix it. And the more I think about that stuff, the more I get kind of pissed.
Right.
Because I'm like, shit, I don't want to fix it. I don't want to deal with it. But I kind of do because I hate having a crash helicopter. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when you told me it's fixed, I was like, okay, that's great relief. Because now I don't have to worry about it. Mm-hmm. The more I withdraw myself from it, the more excited I get when that time clicks and it's time to get back into it very mm-hmm. heavily again, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And how do I get back into it very heavily again? For the most part, I need a motivator. Mm-hmm. The motivator usually is an event. Mm-hmm. I go to an event and like I kind of really regret not having gone to Virginia, because if I would have went, that would have been a huge motivator, because I haven't been... Ever since Urcha, I haven't been at an event, right?
Right.
So if I would have went to Virginia and I would have hang out with my buddies and, you know, you were there and Reyes and Corus and all these guys, and I see the kids flying like Cook and all these guys, then I would just, that's all it takes. Or I see you fly. That's all it takes. I see the atmosphere. I see the environment. And I really start to get motivated again.
Right.
So that's one way to do it. The other way to do it is to kind of get something new and fresh, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so obviously I'm limited as to what I can get and fly in public, because, and I'm not afraid to say this, is the truth, I'm not going to show up and fly a Synergy or an Align. I mean, nothing against them.
Right.
But if I am the owner of the United States distribution of SAB, I'm not going to show up at an event with a freaking Gowie helicopter or a miniature aircraft.
Makes no sense.
So I'm kind of limited in that aspect, because, you know, I have kind of like the blinders on that only focus on Goblin. But still, there's plenty of options within the Goblin world for me to work on, right? Mm-hmm. So something like perhaps a nitro thing that I could work on myself or mm-hmm. get off of some, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just do something that kind of gives you motivated, because it's like something new and fresh, right? Like the Kraken got me really motivated, mm-hmm. really motivated. Like I was very excited to fly again.
Yeah.
And the only reason why I lost my motivation again, I don't think it was because I got burned out, because a lot of times I lose my motivation because I get burned out, literally, because mm-hmm. I overdo it. Too many events, too much stuff. Too much work, you know, event, flying the field, work, event, blah, blah, blah. And then I get burned out. This last time, I didn't get really burned out. I got more like, how would you say? I got kind of more like, it was more like, you know, I went on vacation, so my mindset changed from helis to bikes. Mm-hmm. Then I got back home. Then you had to leave. Mm-hmm. Then we had crappy weather. We had the hurricane. We had all this stupid shit going on. And it was more like, not necessarily being burned out, but more being like, okay, I'm kind of out of it for now. It's like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The lack of motivation, but not burned out. There's a difference. Right. I've been burned out before, which is even harder to recover from that.
Right.
But I think those are the things that you kind of have to do. Go on an event, and that's why I've always told people, go to an event. The event is the best. Like, it's good for the hobby. You contribute to the hobby. You meet new people. You make new friends. Some of the best friends I have, period, you included, I have met them through the RC helicopter hobby.
Right.
I mean, literally, and the friendship spans above and beyond helicopters. Mm-hmm. Like Gator and I, like, we're super close. I don't ever talk to Gator about helicopters.
Hardly ever. Yeah.
We talk about, look who's calling. And my phone is set to do not disturb, but he's still somehow... he's in my favorites list.
Oh, that's why.
He has the... he's one of the lucky ones that's on my favorites list. Anyway, but we talk about politics. We rant about this
or
he shares stories about his job and so do I and things like that. We don't ever talk about helicopters.
Right.
But we share the helicopter hobby in common. We met through helicopters. But If I stop flying one day or sold a business, or it's not going to happen, but if something like that were to happen or he quit the hobby, we still would be friends. So that's why events are so important. I met him at an event, mm-hmm. and you get to meet people, you get that spark back, like you get that motivation back. Now, how about you? How do you recover? And do you think there's a difference between lack of motivation or being burned out? Is there a difference between the two?
Absolutely. And when right now, I would say I think I am categorically defined as burned out. And I'm going to get to that as well.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. But how to regain it for me is I kind of consider myself as like a mechanical person. I just like wrenching and working on stuff. So when I was here alone for 2 weeks, I saw your splattered Kraken sitting on the bench. I was like, oh, there's a project. Yeah. So I took it home and I fixed it and all that. So that kind of made me enjoy it again because I just like working on stuff in general. It's no secret. You and I joke about myself changing schemes overnight because why not?
You like working on shit.
Yeah, I totally agree. I just like, I put a 3-blade head on my Kraken the other day because I was bored. So it's just.
No need.
Yeah, I just like wrenching. So for me, just wrenching, taking it apart, and maybe just changing bearings in a Kraken just to be preventative. Like, that's just stuff I like to do. Going to the field with like you and Gator and Justin Cook and the normal suspects, like, it's just fun to hang out.
So building a new heli or repairing a crash, it's a motivator for you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, big time. Because I just like wrenching and stuff.
But how do you get over the lack of willingness, the boredom, the burned out part of you that keeps you from wrenching? Or do you enjoy wrenching that is not a big deal? You just sit down and wrench.
Yeah, wrenching has never been a problem for me.
And that kind of motivates you, oh, I got to fly now.
Yeah, like, oh, test flight, see if it shakes or if this problem is solved with fixing it or whatever. Like,
really?
Yeah, that has always been a big thing. Right now, I think I'm burned out because leading up to Global 3D, I was flying so much.
Way too much,
and so consistently that I'm like, okay. Like,
my brain needs a break. Still not as much as Camp Hanoi, though.
Not as much as I should.
but it's still a lot for considering the circumstances and your life around the amount of time you put into flying.
I mean, considering there's 7 days in a week, I would say that I did 5 days of flying during the week, flying before work, after work, and that's while maintaining, you know, a full-time job. I did about as much as my life could handle. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, just like right now, I'm just kind of like burnt out on the fact, like, okay, I did so much
flying. Then you went there, and then you ended fifth. So
yeah, it was not like a letdown, but kind of like, okay, like
it is. Well,
and it was kind of like, what was the point of this if I didn't get what
yeah,
I
of
wanted?
Course, of course, yeah, yeah of yeah. course. So that's you know, that definitely has an impact over you know, kind of like losing interest. Of course, it does. It does.
Yeah,
because if you work your ass off and you don't place the way you thought you would. Mm-hmm. Then that takes a toll on you in terms of like, okay, why did I do this?
Why did I practice every day? Yeah, it was just a big kind of a punch to the ego. And then right after that, I had no time to stop because right after that we had IRCHA. So it's just kind of been nonstop since like May or June. So now that there's nothing going on, I find myself relaxing. But at the end of the day, the biggest motivator for me is flying with you and Gator and the crew out of Torches because we make fun of each other, we get food, we just we're not necessarily there for flying, but we do fly.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
So
it's you know, and Gator will go out there and do his thing he does, and we'll go and we'll walk out there with him, and maybe if we get lucky, we'll see a spectacular freaking crash. For no damn reason, and he'll bury the shit out of it, and then he has to come and beg for parts at cost, and it's just fun, man. It's just so much fun. I love it. It's it's such a good time.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, we bring this big speaker and we're playing, you know, the music we like, you know, 80s rock, you know, just or even old, or who knows, with Gator, I mean, we might listen to Dean Martin or something. But that is what gets you it. And I have bad news for the listeners. If you are burned out and you have not made friends in the hobby, it is going to take you a lot. It's going to be a lot harder to get unburned, per se. Because that's how I get, quote unquote, unburned. I go to the field, I hang with my friends, and I see them fly. And then I could see Justin Cook with his Kraken just beating the shit out of it. And I'd be like, shit, I remember when I was like flying, when I could do that, right? And like, I kind of want to try this, or like, it's a motivator, no doubt.
Absolutely. So this upcoming weekend, I'm really looking forward to Saturday. We have a club meeting. We're all going to meet out there.
Yeah, yeah. Have some pizza. That's only 2 days away. 3 days away.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be cool. It's going to be cool. So
awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. So support the hobby. Go to events. If you're anywhere near Woodruff, is it Woodruff? Whatever it's called. Yeah. South Carolina. Go look up Triple Tree. I think if you search for Triple Tree Aerodrome on Google, you will find a website. There's a formal website. It is a full-scale airport, beautiful place. That's where they're going to hold the heli extravaganza. They hold it in the At the end of the field near the creek, which is normally where they do the 3D flight line during the Joe Knoll, which is the big airplane event. Beautiful place. If you have a little plane and you like planes too, especially if you have a plane that has floats, there's mm-hmm. this nice little lake. Mm-hmm. Kyle and I have flown our float planes there, and mm-hmm. we've had a ball. We've done FPV there. I mean, it's just an awesome facility. It's just beautiful.
Yeah.
It's like, if you're into camping, bring a tent. Mm-hmm. They have the best showers, mm-hmm. Cleanest, nicest showers of any RC field in the whole world, probably. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, it's just awesome. So go check it out. And just definitely come to Orlando in December.
You must. You must. It'll be a good time. Good time. We'll put on a show for you.
Nice. You done? You want to wrap it up?
Why not? Let's wrap it up a little bit here.
Okay, so we don't know what we're going to do with the format. I don't know if we're going to keep doing this every week. I don't know. I feel like people really... There's too many podcasts, and I don't mind doing it. I don't know how you feel about this. You and I haven't discussed this.
Right, I'll get into it.
But there's a lot of different podcasts out there. There's a new AMA podcast. It's just out of control. It's mm-hmm. just so many of them. Mm-hmm. What do we have to contribute to the community? I don't mean this in a bad way, because like, I feel like we bring a certain level of expertise.
Mm-hmm.
But is there really room for that many podcasts? It's like, how many Breaking Bads or Walking Deads can you have on TV at a time, right?
Yeah. I think what we might end up doing is doing a podcast every 2 weeks that is longer than what the previous podcast length was. That'll give us more time to get quote-unquote content.
Yeah.
And then we can kind of save up with some good guests, and then that way when you guys get a podcast, it'll be full of stuff and be exciting and entertaining.
I'm down with that. And the other thing is, like, it's difficult too to like find a guest, right? Because mm-hmm. you and I have both contacted individual people
mm-hmm.
That we've like known personally, like, well, and they've committed to you and I,
mm-hmm.
like different. This is different people. I'm not gonna drop names,
right?
But it's like pulling teeth to make it happen, right? Yeah. So it's not easy to find the guests. Right. It's just not easy. So.
Right. We're doing our best. I did make a comment in the past about Curtis Youngblood being on the podcast.
Yeah.
As far as I know, he's still down. We did reach out to him a long time ago. I'm going to follow up with him and see if we can schedule at some point. So
yeah.
When that comes out, who knows? It kind of depends
on his schedule. So stay tuned. We're trying to find our place in the podcast world. There's another aspect, Kyle, of our podcast is the fact that we are, and there's no question, we are biased.
No, of course.
We are. I mean, we're you know, BK Pocket, please.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's a lot of other podcasts out there that are non-biased, that are like free-for-all, like just mm-hmm. comprised of different people that fly different things that perhaps have no specific affiliation. So I think that limits us in a lot of different ways, even though I'm not afraid to say what I think, and I've praised other brands, and, you know, but we don't have the expertise that your average guy that has 7 different models would have, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're more focused on a certain thing because it's all we've done for years.
Yeah.
But with that said, if you guys want us to, we will continue to do this, and we need to find and define our future in terms of like how often, what our format is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe, like you said, maybe twice a month, maybe every other, maybe bi-weekly. I don't know.
We'll see. We're going to figure it out, though, and get it kind of nailed down.
Yeah, definitely.
We do enjoy the podcast. We just got to get it more into a pattern that we can both keep up with.
Yeah, but it's good to be back. It's good to be back. I haven't been behind the mic in, 2 months now. No, more than that.
Since then.
End of July.
Since episode 47?
Yeah, two months. End of July. Yeah. That was Urcha. Yeah, yeah. Cool. Well, anyway, so if you have any questions, comments, concerns, facebook.com/TheBKOfficial
mm-hmm.
or TheBKOfficial on Instagram. Mm-hmm. I can be reached directly, privately at Bert@camera.name or Instagram is Bert_camera and Facebook is BertRC.
Mm-hmm. If you want to find me on Facebook, it's www.facebook.com/KyleStacyRC. If you need to reach out directly, it's KyleStacyRC@gmail.com.
Perfect. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Mm-hmm.
We're glad to be back. And I don't know if you're going to hear from us next week, but definitely it's not going to be 2 months again. That's for sure.
Yeah. More regular now, for sure.
Yeah. See ya.
See ya.